It's big interview time on today's show, and well, we always say we're bringing big thinkers into our big interview, and that's definitely where we're going today. My guest is Robert Michaud. He is Chief Investment Officer at New Frontier Advisors. If you want to get more information, newfrontieradvisors.com, advisors, O-R-S, newfrontieradvisors.com. Robert Michaud, thanks so much for joining me again on Money Life.
It's great to be back.
So, you guys at New Frontier, you have a very distinctive methodology. Like, you didn't pick New Frontier willy-nilly. It's part of your vision for what you see happening with the market. And we have been living through this market that is sort of anything but normal. So anytime you go through unusual conditions, the question is, you know, how does it stress test whatever's going on? Here you've been investing into this kind of volatility and everything else. For you, how has that been? I mean, you know, has it at all tested the basic tenets and theories that you believe in?
Well, as you mentioned, New Frontier is all a new concept of an efficient frontier that's based on modern portfolio theory, trying to come up with an intelligent scientific portfolio to maximize return, minimize risk, but under the assumption that we live in an uncertain future, that there is no way that you can accurately predict what the risk, the return, and the correlations and relationship between all the asset classes that you're interested in investing in are. So this environment has been a great test of that. I think, you know, now things are starting to look a little bit more socially certain, perhaps economically uncertain. We're still in an uncertain future. And certainly looking back a year, we were at a very uncertain place economically and financially. And so to think about how to invest during that point in time did require a great amount of introspection, questioning what you're thinking, questioning some of the relationships between major asset classes, things like China and technology, which had been some of the riskiest places to invest, suddenly became some of the almost safe havens because they were either dealing with the virus better or they were one of those sectors that you knew was going to stick around through something like a pandemic.
Given all that, one of the things that you've been doing is kind of looking at your processes. I noticed on your website a piece that was talking about 60-40 portfolios. And the vast majority of people have been looking in this crisis and things and going, yeah, we need to redefine 60-40. And that means we need to change the numbers. But in your case, you guys have been talking up the fact that, yes, you have to redefine 60-40, but you're not changing the numbers. So explain how that's working and why this particular condition, the market that we're seeing now, has you more convinced about 60-40 rather than less?
Well, the 60-40 portfolio is widely misunderstood. It's so fundamentally important to investing. It is the most common portfolio for most investors. On a conceptual level, if you add up all of the stocks and bonds and investable securities around the world, put them all together, you'll get something that on average over time looks pretty close to a 60-40 portfolio. And the other thing is that it has exposure to everything. It's often called a balanced portfolio. It's a portfolio that does a good job of balancing off not just the risks of stocks and bonds, but if you do it right, it lets you balance off the risks across all asset classes. And when you think about how investors should really be investing over time, our philosophy is think about all of the investment opportunities out there. Some of them are more aggressive, some of them are likely to return more, but have more risk associated. Some are more conservative and more likely to pay off. And then build a portfolio that combines all of these opportunities in the best way. And so these things do change over time. I just gave the example of how China and tech stocks had a very different characteristic post-pandemic than pre-pandemic. Some parts of the world are looking more like they're becoming a value type of investment as their prices go down. And then, of course, the interest rate environment is changing dramatically. And so you do need a very dynamic approach to building something like a balanced portfolio, but it is still likely to be the right type of portfolio for an awful lot of investors out there.
So if I had to distill that, what you're actually saying is you're sticking with 60 and 40, but the components that make up the 60 and the components that make up the 40 are changing.
That's correct. I mean, at a time like now, we have people who are getting scared about bonds, and we have people who are kind of thinking because interest rates have gone up and they are extrapolating into the future and think they may go up more. And that's certainly a possibility. There are people who are concerned about stocks because stock prices have risen quite so dramatically over the last year. And again, that's a possibility. But over time, what we've seen time and time again is that a consistent approach to investing is likely to lead to the best outcomes. Stocks beat cash maybe two-thirds of the time, but a diversified portfolio is likely to be something like being out of the market about four-fifths of the time. And if I went with my gut, I would be out of the market more than half the time. So clearly, you're better off doing something that's a more consistent, but a really balanced approach, certainly an optimized approach to investing in an evolving market.
Optimization is a term that is tossed around a lot that I'm afraid a lot of investors kind of hear it. It sounds good, but they don't understand it. Since it is something that you believe in so strongly, would you talk about optimization, how it works, and how somebody who maybe has never considered whether their portfolio is optimized, how they'd go about thinking about it now?
Sure. Optimization at its core is really just trying to make the most informed, most efficient, and most intensive type of decision about everything. And so it can be agonizing over your whole family's choices at a dinner table, or it can be building a sophisticated portfolio with many different ETFs representing all the different asset classes. So if you're not optimizing, then by definition, you're leaving inefficiencies into your portfolio. You are not getting every bit of return possibility out of your portfolio, and you're taking risks that you don't need to. So why would you ever have an investment professional who is not optimizing a portfolio?
That's a great explanation. That helps people understand a lot better. Now, given everything that's going on, when you talk about the changing components and how you're still doing 60-40, but you're changing what's in it, and as you point out, you don't want to go necessarily with your gut, but it's hard to overcome your gut, especially in a market like this where you're either deciding, do you want to run with the herd that has been going in very specific directions or kind of go against the herd and then go into things that are hard to buy because they're a bit unloved? There's been a lot of talk about rotation and all those other sorts of things. With all of that sentiment and all of that action, how do you suggest people deal with it?
It still comes down to intelligent diversification. One thing that I like to think back on is a year ago, if I had known exactly where we would be today, that we would still be sitting in a pandemic, largely working from home and socially distancing, then I would have taken that information, taken it to my personal investment account, and completely stayed out of the market. Yet what has happened is that markets have had a historic type of return over the last year since the height of the fear of the pandemic, and so many investors would have been wrong. So this is yet another time where if we really are honest with ourselves and we really are thinking about how much do we know, how much do we truly know that the rest of the market does not, then we will find ourselves in a situation where humbly, we have to go back to good fundamentals and thinking about how do investors get rewarded over time. They get rewarded for investing in risky assets, lending money to markets, and they don't know which of those are going to pay off and which of them are not. And so the way to do it is to always be thinking about the long-term picture, staying consistent, staying invested, not panicking, not getting really greedy, but also pay attention to what's going on right now. And so this is the concept of the 60-40 of the past is not the right 60-40 right now. By the way, we do have aggressive portfolios, conservative portfolios. We're an optimization and a company. We can optimize anything, whether it's an aggressive portfolio or a conservative portfolio. But I was just saying that for most people, a lot of people, 60-40 is the middle of the road portfolio that ends up being the most comfortable for what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah, and optimization is also, you know, what might be 60-40 and ideal for a lot of people. Yeah, you in working with folks would be like, hey, for you, it might be 65-35. For you, it might be 70-30. For you, it might be 55-45, whatever it would be. That's part of the optimization process, is that whole think about it and make it unique to yourself.
Exactly. You need to find a portfolio that's really comfortable for your investment objectives. You always want to think about why you're investing, what your investment goal is before you decide how you should be invested.
With the outlook and everything else and all the changes, how is that affecting international investments, et cetera? Because we've seen what's happening with the pandemic. Parts of the world are through the pandemic ahead of us, might be through it later than us. What's the global take right now? Because we're normally so focused, and we've been focused up to now on the U.S. take.
Well, it really has played out over the last year, and we've seen exactly how it's happened. The countries like China, which dealt with it very well, have prospered, and their stock markets have also prospered along with them. Places like Europe, which have really suffered and had a lot of confusion, you see that all in the market. In fact, you could almost just say, you don't have to read the news, you don't have to read the COVID news, you can just look at the international market news and see how each country has been doing, to a large extent anyway. Now, what that says about the future is always a little bit more tricky. It has, where there is risk, there is also often return. So places like Europe, which have had their markets hit so hard, now for some types of investors are seen as a risk premia. Other parts of the market which have done well, some people think those markets might be overvalued. I try hard not to make predictions. I try hard to always step back, stay rational, and stay diversified. But you do want to measure that there might be a higher expected return in some of these places where there are more risk. Definitely don't go entirely exposed to those places with the most risk, because they have a lot of risk. So you don't want to put too much risk into your portfolio. That just never pays off well. The biggest danger to your long-term wealth is risk.
Robert, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining me on the show to talk about it.
Thanks for letting me be here and not asking for a haircut.
Robert Michaud is Chief Investment Officer at New Frontier Advisors. They're online at newfrontieradvisors.com. They're on Twitter at NFABoston. Okay, we're halfway into the Monday, March 29th edition of Money Life. Up next,
danger, danger.
We're heading for trouble. David Trainer from New Constructs will be here, and we're going to the danger zone. Stick around.